Over the past few months, we've been talking with blind and partially sighted people to get their opinions on lockdown, social distancing, and even the easing of restrictions in certain areas. We have with us Councillor Dennis Robertson, who is in the Stonehaven area of Aberdeenshire. Dennis, thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, hello, Alan. Nice to talk again, actually.
Now, you're a guide dog owner, registered blind yourself.
Yep.
So if we go back to lockdown just coming in, what was that like for you?
I think from my own perspective, quite challenging. I'm someone that has quite bad asthma, and is this going to be quite frightening? And I suppose I was fortunate I wasn't in the shielding group, but I was on the sort of second tier, which meant that I had to be extremely careful, and I wasn't, you know, allowed to go to shops or do anything like that. And meeting people was just a big no-no to start with. And I'm very close to my family, especially my daughter, and I find that really, really strange. And phone calls, okay, it's not the same. But the biggest change for me was, because I couldn't go out initially, is I had to look for an arrangement for my guide dog, Murphy. And so my daughter actually dog-napped him as opposed to dog-sitting him. So she had him actually for the first 10 to 12 weeks. Now, okay, am I a long cane user? I have a long cane. Do I use it? Only when I absolutely have to. Why? Because I find it quite stressful. You know, you just put so much into being a guide dog owner, and it's kind of relaxed in some respects, but with a cane, you know, you're in control here. You're supposed to be in control of the dog, but, you know, I mean, let's face it, when you're out and about, you can daydream a wee bit. Can I really do that with a cane, you know? And anyway, I remember once when I was out with my cane, and this is going back a wee bit, you know, I used to sort of go along with my cane, and I would say, okay, up to the curb, and I'm going, oh, it's my cane I've got, you know.
the sound of disappointment in your voice.
You know, absolutely, because you're right. You get into the mould, don't you?
And with restrictions easing in certain places, you know, more people were getting out and about. But, you know, that kind of threw up new things like social distancing problems. I suppose if you didn't have the dog then, did you venture out more, or do you have the dog back now?
Oh, I've got the dog back now, and we've been out quite a bit. But I still haven't ventured into shops or, you know, the pharmacy or anything like that. And one of the reasons is that the shops, and in fact all of them, you know, including the pharmacies, they've got queuing systems if there's, you know, more than so many people in, and they've got one-way systems in place. Well, that's fine, but, you know, guide dogs kind of train to get to the door. So here's me just sailing past the queue, you know. People going, yeah, where that pal? There's a queue. All right, you know. And I'm thinking, no, I can't do this. So, you know, something, it's easier not to in some respects. So if we do happen to run out of milk or whatever, it's a question of my wife will do it later or something.
So is it more the circumstances that rather than your own confidence, really, I think, you know, we take into account social distancing. Is it more perhaps thinking about how others react then, or, you know, I'm going to go to the shop, are they going to help me?
Yeah, and I think it is about others, because when I'm in a shop as well, I always, you know, I would basically just go up to the till counter and just say, okay, you know, I'm in for a few things. Is there anyone available to give me some assistance? And they usually say, I mean, they're very good, and they usually say, that's not a problem. But that all requires some degree of contact. And even for things like, although contactless payments are, you know, maybe a godsend for many people, you've still got to find the machine to wave your card across, sort of thing, you know. It goes back to, you're far too young, but it goes back to the golden shot days of right a bit, left a bit. Yeah, you're there, you know.
Listen for the beep when you've done it.
Well, more or less, you know. And then you just become very conscious that you're touching things. And I don't know about you, Alan, but I'm quite a tactile person. In a nice way, well, not in an arresting manner, I hope, but it's, but you know, you touch things as you're moving and for location and things like that. But even with people, you know, you meet someone, you're shaking their hand or whatever, and I kind of miss all that.
Is it a bigger frustration then, knowing that for some the situation is easing, but for yourself, it's perhaps thrown up some more barriers? I mean, you're in well, Aberdeenshire, and Aberdeen's just gone into lockdown again. So, you know, it's almost back to square one.
Well, more or less. And it means that because of, I'm a councillor, most of my work tends to be in the Shire, but our headquarters building is actually in Aberdeen. Although we're not going to the buildings just now in terms of meetings, etc. In fact, I haven't been on a train since the lockdown started. And, you know, that's one thing I was doing regular, you know, more or less like a daily traveller. So that's a bit strange for me. So I'm kind of sort of in Stonehaven, and we've got the sort of spaces for people within the town centre. Now, that means that in certain areas, they've extended the width of the pavement by using cones, etc., onto the road. And that's fine. But as a guide dog owner, you'll appreciate this, Alan. You're not going to go onto the road unless it's absolutely necessary. Mm. So if the pavement's clear, I'm walking down, and it means that other people are having to avoid me. And maybe that's the way it always is, but you're more conscious of it now. And if there's people queuing maybe to get into a shop or a baker or whatever, and you're walking down, you hear people sort of, you know, that sort of, without saying something. And you feel, if they would only just speak to you and say, I'm in a queue, son, you know that.
Yeah. I'm not asking you to come and take your arm or point the guide dog where to go. Just, you know, telling you where you are or the best way to go or something's in your way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for myself, I would certainly welcome it if people just went, I'm pushing a pram. It's difficult for me to go into the road. Can you move into the side a wee bit? Or absolutely. Why wouldn't I? Because I'm going to be as accommodating as I can. One of the routes I do in Stonehaven is when I'm walking down to the town, it means that I've actually got to down by the station. There's actually a railway bridge. So you're going through a sort of tunnelled area. Now, it's quite narrow. So when I get there, I tend to have to stop and I listen and I think, I wonder if there's anybody coming the other way. And I think, well, surely they'll speak to me. You know, if I start going down, they'll say, if you just wait a minute. But nobody does. So I start going through it, and then all of a sudden, you know, you think, okay, we're brushing shoulders here.
I mean, easing is good. You know, we want to get back to normal. Is there a kind of top tip you would have then for people to make it easier for you and others with guide dogs or canes?
Just giving you that initial verbal alert, just to say hello, or, you know, I mean, that's all I think would be helpful for myself and many others. It's just to be aware that someone is there. It's not you seeking help or anything like that. You're just trying to, I suppose, work within the guidelines at the moment. And because other people are rightly so being quite cautious, you don't want to make them feel that they're doing something wrong. And to be honest, I think it's one of the things I have noticed during the lockdown, that there are more and more people speaking to one another, which maybe didn't happen in the past. And maybe it's because less people were using their cars.
Dennis Robertson, thanks for speaking with us on R&IB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.